Our text this morning is from Psalm 119. We will begin reading with verse 113. I hate double-minded men, but I love your law. You are my refuge and my shield. I have put my hope in your word. Away from me, you evildoers, that I may keep the commands of my God. Sustain me according to your promise, and I will live. Do not let my hopes be dashed. Uphold me, and I will be delivered. I will always have regard for your decrees. You reject all who stray from your decrees, for their deceitfulness is in vain. All the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. Therefore I love your statutes. My flesh trembles in fear of you. I stand in awe of your laws. I have done what is righteous and just. Do not leave me to my oppressors. Ensure your servant's well-being. Let not the arrogant oppress me. My eyes fail, looking for your salvation, looking for your righteous promise. Deal with your servant according to your love. Teach me your decrees. I am your servant. Give me discernment that I may understand your statutes. It is time for you to act, O Lord. Your law is being broken. Because I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold, and because I consider all your precepts right, I hate every wrong path. This is the Word of God. Father, as we gather together around your Word, we ask that you would speak to each of us, that we might individually and corporately understand what you have to say for us today. We ask that you would make clear to us the message you have for us from this text. Draw us close to you, we pray. Amen. Well, we are over the hump. We have only about 50 more verses to cover in Psalm 119. That means we're about two-thirds of the way through our walk through this, the longest chapter in the Bible. The chapter which speaks so much of God's law, His decrees, His word, and which we typically have looked at historically just from the perspective of the law. It's a psalm about the law. It's one of the great law psalms or word psalms. But we have been seeking to see the laws there, the laws of life, through the lens of how do we enhance and improve our relationship with God. And so we've looked at the law of godliness and time and obedience and purity and meditation. We have coming up the law of prayer and the law of faith and we've looked at the law of affliction and we've done this always with the eye towards how do we strengthen our relationship with God? How do we actually walk with this Creator who has deigned to make Himself known to us and given us these laws of life, laws of relationship? And today we come to this law of disassociation is what I've called it, the law of disassociation. You know, we tend to be kind of open to just about any relationship, and we tend to not like to cut off relationships. Because after all, we are believers in Jesus Christ, and Jesus loved everybody, right? And so we should love everybody, and we should embrace everybody, and there's nobody that we should disassociate with. There's never a time when we ought to intentionally stop being friends with people. Or is there? When you think in terms of a relationship with God, the law of disassociation actually makes sense. There are some friendships which you ought to drop. There are some friendships which you ought to keep. And if we want to have a close relationship with God, there are some people you should just avoid. And I believe this passage we've read, these two stanzas of Psalm 119, point out three groups of people that we ought to avoid. And the first comes in verse 113, the first verse of these two stanzas, where he says, I hate double-minded men, and we ought to avoid the double-minded. Now, it's kind of strong words, isn't it? Because after all, God is love, and we're supposed to have this agape love for everyone. The kind of love that God has for us. And yet here's the psalmist saying, I hate the double-minded. And as a matter of fact, the psalmist doesn't just start off hating in these two stanzas. He starts and ends with the idea of hate. He starts off saying, I hate the double-minded. He ends up saying, I hate the evil or the wrong path. There's a part of us that wants to say, well, Christians are supposed to be all about love. We're not supposed to ever say, I hate that. And here's the psalmist boldly proclaiming, I hate the double-minded. You know, James talks about the double-minded. He says, those doubting people are like a wave of a sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man, the one who is double-minded, who is a doubter, should not think he will receive anything from the Lord. He's double-minded. He's unstable in all that he does. And in James 4:8, the only other time, the three times in Scripture where double-minded is used, James 4:8 is a prayer that we not be double-minded. That so strong does God look at this double-mindedness, it's okay for us to hate it, and we ought to flee it ourselves. We ought to avoid being double-minded. Jesus had just such a person in mind in Matthew chapter 6 when he said, when he talked about the people who seek to serve two masters. They are unstable, which comes from the Greek word meaning unsteady. They waver in their character and their feelings. The psalmist says with good reason, I hate the double-minded man, because a double-minded man, oh yeah, I'm supposed to get to this. By the way, when Scripture uses things like that, it says a double-minded man, it really doesn't mean males. Okay, if you get stuck there and you think, well, what's up with the Scripture? You know, it's not nice to women. You know, it's just the way they talked 2,000, 3,000 years ago. They didn't think that way. They're talking to humanity. I hate double-minded humanity. Whether you're male or female, it fits in this. So, you know, don't think, oh, I can go with double-minded women, but not double-minded men. That's not the intent. And if you get stuck there, buy a Bible that degenderifies the Scripture and be fine with it. But let's not forget the message of Scripture. It's not about gender equality, although there's a lot more gender equality in Scripture than most people give credit for, and they don't speak that gender-inclusive language. But don't get tripped up there, because oftentimes you get tripped up talking about gender equality in the Scripture and you miss the actual message of the Bible. I hate double-minded men and women. If it makes you feel better, throw in the and women, but I'm not going to do it anymore in the sermon. I hate double-minded men. They are restless and confused in their thoughts, their actions, and behavior. They are always in conflict with themselves. They're trying to hold two things in balance which can't be held in balance. They're torn by such inner conflict that they can never lean with confidence on God and His gracious promises, because they're not really sure that God is really there. They're like a drunk man trying to walk a straight line. They sway one way or another, and they think they're going straight. They have no defined direction. As a result, they get nowhere. They are unstable. And when we hang out with unstable people, it destabilizes us. When we associate, and we spend a lot of time with double-minded people, it begins to impact our thought process, begins to minimize our stability, it begins to undermine our ability to stand solidly on the convictions we have from Scripture. A double-minded man lacks conviction in their beliefs, so they change their loyalties and their ideas, depending on whoever they're with. You know, they change their opinion depending on who they want to influence. It's like the people who are big donors, and they give lots of money to the Democratic Party, and then they give lots of money to the Republican Party. That's not going from the position of conviction. That's going from the position of trying to buy influence. The Scripture says, I hate double-minded men. They pretend to have qualities or beliefs which they don't really have. They express agreement, but they don't have the conviction behind that agreement. They say one thing and do another. They are what we might call two-faced. They have a conversation with you, and they say one thing. They have a conversation with another person, and they say something totally different. Those types of people are destructive to our ability to continue in a relationship with God. That's why the psalmist says, I hate double-minded men. If we want to have a good relationship with God, we have to learn to draw a line and say, you know what? There are some people I'm going to avoid. I'm going to avoid the double-minded. I'm not going to let myself be impacted by their lack of conviction. But the text goes on in verse 115. And it says this, away from me, you evildoers. And I want to suggest that maybe we should avoid the disobedient. Avoid the disobedient. As a matter of fact, this is a theme which actually runs throughout Scripture. You know, the Scripture doesn't say, okay, the best thing you can do for your spiritual walk is hang around the wicked people. This will really buoy up your faith if you hang around the wicked. You know, if you walk in the way of the wicked, and you'll be loved by God. Actually, you're loved by God whether you walk there or not, but it's not a good idea. Look at what 1 Samuel says. I kind of like this. As the old saying goes, this is 1 Samuel 24:13. From evildoers come evil deeds. Okay, this will make sense later. A squirrel. That will make sense later. From evildoers come evil deeds. So my hand will not touch you. I'm not going to hang around the evildoers because evildoers do evil deeds. You get yourself in a lot of trouble when you hang around evildoers. When you hang around the disobedient. There's an old story about a farmer who had a problem with with crows eating his sweet corn. Now he grew the sweet corn close to his house because he felt like he could get to it quickly, and that was his garden. And the problem was that as the sweet corn was coming to fruition, the crows would come and he'd eat all his corn. And so he'd put up a scarecrow, it didn't work, and he finally decided he was gonna trick them. And crows are hard to trick. Crows are smart little birds, and big birds, but not that big, not the yellow one. Look, squirrel. It's another squirrel. And so he set up in the window of his house a shotgun to shoot out over his corn, his ears of corn. And he figured he could, from there, pull the trigger without them seeing him, and he'd kill some of those stupid crows. So the day comes, and he's got it all set up, and kaboom! You know, if you shoot a gun in a house, it is really loud. And he goes, oh, wow. And so he goes out, and he finds laying amongst his corn stalks his pet parrot. He looks at his parrot and said, what happened? Why were you out here? And the parrot says, bad company. Bad company. And that's what happens to us. If you hang out with bad company, you're going to get shot. Okay, not literally. Don't take that. Bad things happen. That's why the Scripture says avoid disobedient people. You know, disobedient people don't help you be obedient. Disobedient people help you be disobedient. That's one of the reasons why a lot of times people get together in support groups. And I've seen it in 30 years of ministry. A bunch of people who are disgruntled in their marriage get together in a support group. And they're trying to work things out, and they talk about what's going on, and then one of them will cross that line and get divorced. And then the second one will. And the third one will. And pretty soon the whole group is divorced. Because one person broke that barrier and it became okay. Disobedience leads to disobedience. Job says, he keeps company with evildoers. He associates with the wicked. And the result is that he becomes one of them. Psalm 26, I abhor the assembly of evildoers, and I refuse to sit with the wicked. Psalm 94, they pour out arrogant words. All the evildoers are full of boasting. Psalm 141, do not let my heart be drawn to what is evil so that I take part in wicked deeds along with those who are evildoers. Do not let me eat of their delicacies. See, we seem to think that it's okay for us to hang around people who we know are disobedient because, well, it won't impact us. And somehow we think that our obedience is going to rub off on them, but what more often happens is their disobedience rubs off on us. You know this is true because cleanliness isn't catching. Uncleanliness is catching. You know, imagine you go, you're working in your yard, you're working under your car, and you're filthy. Your hands are dirty, your shirt is dirty, your pants have grease on them and grass on it. And when you come back in the house, what do you do with those clothes? Do any of you take those dirty, nasty clothes, stinky clothes, your workout clothes, fold them up and stick them in your drawer? Does anybody do that? Yeah. Do you hope, hey, you know what? I'll just take all these dirty clothes and I'll associate them with clean clothes, and then the clean clothes will make the dirty clothes clean? You'd be an idiot if you did that. Because uncleanliness is catching. Disobedience is catching. And that's why the scripture says we ought to avoid the disobedient. Because when we hang around disobedient people, we are more inclined to be disobedient ourselves. So the Proverbs say, do not set foot on the path of the wicked or walk in the way of the evildoers. Evildoers foster rebellion against God. The messenger of death will be sent against them. If you want to have a strong relationship with Jesus, you have to be willing to say, I'm going to avoid the double-minded. I'm going to avoid the disobedient. And the text goes on. But we're going to interrupt this message with a video. Look, there's a squirrel. See, we need to avoid the double-minded, the disobedient, and the distracted. The video obviously is a reminder not to text and drive, but is a powerful message for our spiritual life as well. The passage actually says in verse 128, God says, this text says, you reject all who stray from your decrees. It seems so innocent to just stray a little bit. It seems so innocent to just read a text. Just, I'm at a stoplight, it's not that big of a deal. And just, maybe it's important. Maybe it's my husband saying I love you. Maybe I'm supposed to pick up milk at the store. And then there's a crash. See, when you get distracted, you tend to crash. The double-minded and the distracted are alike in this. They haven't focused on what God has called them to do. See, God has brought you here for a reason. God has brought you into this world, and He's brought you into fellowship with Himself, not because He just wants to give you an easy life, but because He wants you to stand for something. He wants you to be an ambassador to represent Him. And we live in a society where that sense of call, that sense of what does God have me on this earth for, has been put to the back burner. And instead we get distracted with all kinds of other things which are good. Oh, and there's lots of people who are going to help you be distracted. And you need to focus on building up your 401k or your IRA or your PTO or whatever. You need to invest in gold or silver or my business. You need to buy a bigger, better house or live debt-free. And that's what's most important. But you know what? The most important thing is that we know Jesus Christ. That we develop our relationship with God, our Savior, God, our Creator. And it's so easy to get distracted in things which, as important as they aren't the one thing. And the secret of life is that one thing, knowing Jesus Christ. Developing a relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the Creator of the universe, the Friend of sinners. That we would be focused on how can I know Jesus better? Because out of our relationship with Christ, out of the relationship which we can develop through the laws of life given to us in Psalm 119, we develop this relationship which gives us the abundant life, regardless of how much money we make, regardless of whether we have a good retirement or no retirement, whether we live in the United States where it's safe and we can actually talk about things like retirement, or whether we live in Afghanistan where we worry about whether our kids are going to be beheaded. The most important things in life are so easy to get distracted from. Because we think those things are so important. God says, the Scripture says, He rejects those who stray from His decrees. It doesn't speak in language of major steps away. That came at the first point, the double-minded. That's just a little bit off. Oh, I know, I've still got my relationship with God on the stove. At least I haven't just put it in the deep freeze. But there's more other things which are more important. And yet the Scripture says, the wicked of the earth you discard like dross. The psalmist speaks powerfully when he says, I love your commands more than gold, more than pure gold. And through the lens of relationship, as we're looking through Psalm 119, what he's saying is, I love my relationship with you more than gold, more than pure gold. I consider your precepts right. I hate every wrong path. I will not be distracted. And he says some things, the flip side of disassociation. Verse 114, God is our refuge and our shield. Verse 116, God will sustain us. Verse 117, God will uphold us. Verse 124, we receive His love. Verse 125, we receive discernment. See, if you want to have a relationship with God, you have to avoid the double-minded, the disobedient, the distracted. You need to turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light.